As many of you know, we are in the middle of a series on discipleship, what it looks like, in particular, what it looks like in the family and in the midst of a busy life. What does it look like for making disciples in the midst of a busy life? As we look through this, we have seen so far that all Christians are disciples. There are not two different groups of people. The Bible does not let us get away with that, thinking that there's Christians and then there's these disciple folks up here who are so much more spiritual. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that all are one and the same. All Christians are disciples. We've also seen how the Bible talks about disciples, and it gives us three things in particular. Disciples hold to Jesus' teaching, they are known for their love for each other, and they bear fruit for God's glory. These things are the things that we know should be present. If we are claiming to be Christ's disciples, these are things that should be present in our lives as a result of that. Last week we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm going to ask you to go ahead and grab your Bibles and go there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 182. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The very first thing, we talked about this passage as being concentric circles. So the very first circle we talked about last week, which is us, okay, which is mom and dad. That is, our goal is to be loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Then that second circle becomes, then pass these things on to your children. Impress them onto their hearts. And then the final one is taking that out to the community. We talked about the fact that you have to start with the middle or the center circle. We have to start with us and our loving the Lord our God with all of our heart. You cannot start with the community because then all you're doing is putting on a mask. You cannot start with your children because you're putting on the same mask and your kids are going to pick that up faster than anyone. If you don't have a love for the Lord, you cannot teach them to love the Lord. So you need to be able to do that. You start with that center circle. Today, we're going to be talking about the issue of time. If you remember from last week, God was realistic about time. He did not say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Here's 15 things I want you to do so that you can make me happy. Now find a place to put these in your schedule." He didn't say it that way. He said, talk about these commands. Talk about these things when you sit at home, when you drive in the car, when you are going to bed, when you get up in the morning. Basically, at all points in your life, talk about these things. Reorient yourself around the things of God. So out of your love for the Lord, be intentional with making Christ the topic of your conversations. Now, I also remind you, there is a handout that's associated with this. You are welcome to get that handout. We will email that to you. We would have printed it out, but it's quite lengthy, and it would have been very expensive to print out for everyone. So if you would like a copy of it, we'll be more than happy to send you a copy via email. Just let me know or call the office, and we will be happy to send that out to you. The handout is from another church. We are borrowing that from them. They said that we perfectly can, but they said, please do not change anything in the handout. So we're not. Okay, so when you read that handout, please understand that some things will be different. They're going to be talking about things in their church that don't happen here, and that's okay. They don't have to happen here. They're a big, giant church. We're a smaller church, and things can be different. Same thing with the sermons. We took the sermon series that they had done, and I've reworked it for our church, for our setting, because we are a different church than they are. Okay, so as we talk about discipleship and time, the first thing regarding time is consistency. So here's my question for you all to start off. How many of you get things the first time you're told? Somebody tells you something and bam, you nail it, you got it, no problem, no issues whatsoever. Or how about your kids? Do they get it the first time they're told? Okay. I can see here some of you parents all going, all right, I have to tell my teenager literally a million times to pick up their nasty socks and put them in the dirty clothes, okay? Tell them night after night, get your homework done so you can get to bed at a decent hour. Tell them all the time, pick up the trash, take it out, please. I swear my teenager is deaf because the trash is still sitting there, okay? We all have these experiences. But before all of you adults start pointing your fingers at the children, let me remind you of some of you guys, okay? How many of you wives have ever said something like this? What do you mean you don't remember that we're having dinner with the Joneses? I told you 100 times. Any wife ever tell that to your husband? Okay? We know that these things happen. I tried to find something that husbands regularly tell their wives and that their wives forget. I couldn't find one. Okay? I went and asked Debbie and said, Debbie, what is something that your husband regularly tells you and you forgot about it, but he tells you like a million times? And she said, I forgot. Okay? So I don't have one for that example, okay? But I will give you one other example. There are times in church where we put things in the bulletin, we put them on the screen, we announce it in the church service, we put them on posters, we even send emails to people, and it never fails. I'll still have somebody come up to me during coffee hour and go, did you announce that in church? I didn't hear that at all, okay? We get told things a million times and we don't always hear those things. Here's my point when it comes to time and spiritual conversations. Spiritual conversations are not one-shot deals. You don't talk to your child about Jesus, suddenly they become a theologian and all is well. You need to talk to them regularly, consistently about these things. Okay? Think about some of the things you talk to your kids about on a regular basis. Grades, sports, the cleanliness of their room or lack thereof. There are lots of things you talk to regularly when you're talking with your kids. Spiritual conversations was one of those things that we need to reorient ourselves and say, this is something we need to make sure that we are regularly discussing with our children. Okay? Consistency, let me tell you what consistency does not mean. It does not mean necessarily having the same time every week. So Tuesdays at 6 p.m., if that's going to be your time, let me tell you what's going to happen at Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Anybody want to take a guess? Everything in the world is going to try and put itself on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Sports things are going to get put on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. You're going to have business trips. There's going to be all kinds of things that start aiming for that time. If you're able to do it, amen and hallelujah, that's an awesome thing. But that's not necessarily what I'm talking about when I mean consistency. What you can do for consistency is make spiritual conversation a regular part of family life and vocabulary. Make it a goal of for 10 or 15 minutes during the week to have a family devotional time. Look for some questions to really spur on spiritual conversation. And I'll give you two to start off, okay? Especially if you have older kids, this may work with younger kids too, but if you have older kids, what has God been teaching you this week? Simple enough question, but it allows you them to review the week and think through things. And the second one, how have you been seeking this week to be a godly person, not just a good person? And I love that one because too often we settle for good people rather than godly people. And I've told this to the kids in the youth group before, and I'll tell it to you guys here. I want godly people. I want godly people in our church. I want godly people in the youth group. I don't want just good people. And here's the wonderful thing. When you go after godly, you get the good, right? It's a little harder to go after the godly, but when you get the godly, you get the good as well. The second thing when it comes to time is clarity. Clarity is a key. People oftentimes hear what they want to hear. I actually keep a record of the text messages that I send and receive. Because especially with texts, rather than phone conversations, people can interpret things the way they want to interpret things because it's just words on a screen, right? And I've actually had a couple of times where I've had to go back to text messages and say, no, that's not what I said. Here is what I said, because people assume things. People hear what they want to hear sometimes. So here are some good things to do when we want clarity, especially when you're having spiritual conversations, which of course you're already having consistently with kids. Here's some things that you can do. Ask them to repeat back to you what you just talked about. This allows you to make sure that your point was very clear, but it also allows like a little peek into their soul to kind of see the person that they are becoming, how God has shaped them. And this is going to look differently. If you have multiple kids, it's going to look differently with all of your children because they're all different individuals. God wired them differently. Another good practice, which most of you probably know about, is ask open-ended questions. If you ask yes-no questions, guess what you're going to get? Yes or no, okay? If you ask open-ended questions, at least at that point you have a shot at understanding better your child's heart. So you can try questions like, how did that make you feel? Which for every guy in the room, that's the worst question on the face of the earth. You can try questions like, tell me a little bit more about that. Okay, you said that you are wanting to try out for the school play. You know, tell me more about that. What play is it? I didn't realize that you were interested in drama. Draw some things out. Tell me a little bit more about those things. You also need to allow yourselves to be a safe place for your children's doubts. How many of you have ever gone through a time when you struggled to make sense of what God is doing and it caused you to doubt? Anybody? Seriously? Okay. Guess I'm one of a few. Probably it's a common experience that we get to that point where we're like, okay, we're wondering what in the world God is doing. Someone dies, we don't understand God's plan for it. Or someone is sick and there seems to be no cure, and you sit there and you wonder, what in the world are you doing, God? Your kids need to have a safe place to express and explore their doubts. So in those doubts, seek to point them to the positive things. I've told you guys this before. When my dad died shortly after retirement, I've never did understand why God would take him at that particular time of his life. But in that questioning and in that doubting time, God pointed me to other things that said, I am absolutely in this and you can trust me in this. In the way he took my dad, in the other parts of the timing that he took my dad, it said, this is absolutely God's plan. I may not understand it, I may not get why he's done this, but God is in the middle of it. The less you freak out about someone's doubts and gently direct them toward the heart of Christ, in the middle of that doubt, the more likely they will be to trust you with spiritual things in the future. Third thing. First one is consistency. Second one is, I'm forgetting my own notes, clarity, and the third one is creativity. It's okay to make the Bible fun, okay? How many of you guys have ever built a fortress in your living room with your children? Or your children have built a fortress in the living room, okay? How many of you read those verses in the Bible where it talks about God is our fortress and he is our safety and so on and so forth? Now, consider when you're hanging out in the fortress with your kid, you pull out the Bible, you read that verse, and then you just simply relate how this makes you feel safe in this little place. This is how we feel with Jesus. When we are in with Jesus, this is how we feel. Anybody ever go camping or just sit outside underneath the stars and enjoy the stars? Okay, that kind of thing. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. Think about ways in which you can direct your child in these things and direct your child's heart, helping them to see God in a different way. There's a time I was camping with the pastor and his family, and I believe it was the pastor's son, and it might have been his nephew, and I were out on a canoe on the lake in Vermont. just as sun was beginning to set, the stars are starting to come out, all these different things, and a song comes to mind that reminds me of what all of this is like. It's a song by Rich Mullins called Sometimes by Step, and it talks about how the sky could be so close that it feels like you could just reach out and touch it. And that was the first time I ever understood those words. I was like, wow, that sky just looks out like you could reach out and literally touch that. But then the song goes on to say, sometimes I think of Abraham and how one star had been lit for me. Now, realize it or not, that is some deep theology in those two lines, okay? The Bible says that for Abraham, that God was going to make his descendants as numerous as the stars. So that means I am a child of Abraham because I am in God's family, which means one of those stars that Abraham was looking at was lit just for me. That's what he's talking about. And at that moment, while I was sitting out there on the boat with those guys, there was just a smallness of life and the absolute greatness of God, and this all comes rushing over me, and it is a moment that I will never forget. These are the kinds of things that you can help be creative with your kids, okay? Think about how you can weave God's words into these things. If you're sitting there going, you know what, Pastor, I am not a creative or a smart person. I don't get that, okay? And I'll tell you up front, I'm not creative or smart either, okay? But it doesn't take a whole lot to take some verses and read them around a campfire and talk about how awesome God really is. Or go for a walk and sing some worship songs while you're out in God's creation. Here's another thought for getting conversation going. Do a high and low check. Okay? Simple thing. High point for the day, low point for the day. What were those things? You might have had an absolutely awesome day, so the worst thing in your day was that you actually had to get up out of bed because you were enjoying your bed too much. Maybe you had an absolutely awful day and you are thrilled to death to be getting back to being with your family, to being with the kids. Dennis Kite started this with the youth group next door, with the girls in particular. And when we had to combine the guys and the girls together on certain nights, the girls would almost get vicious about it. They're like, we're doing highs and lows right now, okay? Because they really enjoyed that time of being able to talk and relate over those things. Something that you can easily do over the dinner table while you are in the line getting food at the restaurant, when you're in the car, when you're out for a walk. These are all great times that you can just shout out, all right, highs and lows for the day. Who's going first? And talk with your family about what's been going on in their lives. Another conversation starter. ABCs of praise. Okay? When you get together, especially if you're going on a longer car ride, because it might take a little longer to go through some of these, but talk about how God has blessed your family. And you start with the letter A, and then you go to the letter B, and you keep working your way through the alphabet. I'll let you figure out how you're going to handle Z and Q, but be a good time to talk about what God is doing in your life. Last thing, last one of these, is counsel. Look for family devotional that you can use once or twice a week with your family. As children, we used to roll our eyes when our mom would pull out the family devotional before dinner. Okay, we'd be sitting at the table. We'd be like, oh, Mom, are you kidding? We got to do this again, all right? But I kid you not that now that we're adults, that's the thing my sister and I are probably going to fight over when Mom passes away, is those devotional books. Because we both realize that we have been trained by those things. No matter how much we rolled our eyes before, we've been trained by those things. We learned our Bible stories because of those things. And I absolutely love my mom and appreciate my mom so much more because she stood her ground on that and said, we are doing devotional time here together as a family. So I know you're listening to Mom somewhere, so thank you, okay? Find a family devotional that you can use mealtimes, keep it in the car, pull it out when you're doing that little 10 to 15 minute time, you're going to go see grandma, whatever, pull that out and use that time together. Be creative with it. As you are living your life, talk about the truths of God and your love for the Lord. The second thing that I would love to see us as a church do And this could be a new ministry opportunity. We had somebody on the board who said, I'll do this. But if somebody in the church said, hey, I would love to do this, that would be awesome. Take that off the person on the board, and someone else can take that on as a ministry, is this. If someone would be willing, take a hold of the children's church curriculum and have them write up some questions based on the children's church curriculum that mom or dad can just pick up at the end of children's church and take with them. So in the car, on their drive home, they've got 3, 4, 5, 6 questions, whatever it is, about what was the lesson today? What are some things, how that applied to the kids, how the kids can understand that stuff. And now that makes you, mom or dad, the resident theologian in the car, because you're and the person who knows everything, because all of a sudden you're now asking them questions about what was the story about? Oh, what did David do in that moment? And you're asking specific questions about those kinds of things. The curriculum is generally set several weeks in advance, so you'll be able to come up and work through those things. And here is the best part about this ministry opportunity, okay? You ready? You don't even have to like children, okay? I tell you guys frequently that children's ministry is a huge factor in growing churches. If the children's ministry is not strong, the church is not going to grow very well, okay? But even if you hate children, you can still do this ministry. This is something that you can do at home, and then you just simply send it in to Debbie, or you bring it in or whatever, and set it there. And now you are helping out the parents, you are helping out the children, and helping them to grow in ways that you are not able to see, okay? If you are interested in that ministry to help take that off of somebody on the board, please come see me, because I'd love to have you do that. That would be wonderful. We'll get you together with the right people and get that rolling. Now, after all this, there's going to be 4 things that are going to be kind of gunning for all of this when we start talking about really wanting to do family discipleship in our lives, about time and all these things. So here we go. First one, first enemy of all of this is misplaced loves. And how this works for family discipleship is that, Dad, Mom, are you giving yourself to cultivating your own heart for Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you are perfect, because I know the answer. It's the same as my answer. No, you're not perfect. But are you cultivating your heart to love Jesus Christ? If you are not filling your heart with the things that help you love Jesus, your kids are going to pick up on it, and they will know what you love the most. And let me give you an example. I was witness one time to a rather interesting conversation from some of the kids at the youth group. They were discussing, what is Dad's favorite beer? Okay. Now, please do not get me wrong. I'm not going after Dad's going, you're all a bunch of drunks, you need to stop drinking, any of that. Okay, you can enjoy alcohol in a responsible manner, and that is not a problem. But here is the question that came to mind after I heard this little conversation going on. Do these kids who are discussing Dad's favorite beer, do they know Dad's favorite verse? Do they know Dad's favorite Bible character or Bible story? Does he have a life verse? What is it? Why does he love that verse so much? Now, I promised you at the beginning of all this that I was trying not to do little flyby guiltings and just, you know, drop little guilt bombs on you guys and run. I know it sounds like I'm making this sound like a breeze, okay? Single pastor going up here going, this is easy, just do all this stuff with your kids and it's perfect. No, I know that it's not perfect. It's not simple. But what this little story illustrates is this. Are you doing the right things that cultivate your heart and your love for Jesus Christ so that your children can see that in your own life? First enemy of doing all of these things of family discipleship is going to be misplaced loves. What are we doing to cultivate our love for Jesus? Second enemy would be weak marriages. And I want to tread lightly, but I also want to tread directly on this. If your marriage is characterized by any of these things, there's problems. We all understand that any marriage can have a difficulty at any time, okay? So we're not going to be talking about that. What we're talking about is if this is a consistent characterization of your marriage, then perhaps you need to be seeking some help. So two things. If there is consistent coldness, okay, if your spouse is more your roommate than your spouse, there's probably some problems that need to be addressed. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest gifts that my parents ever gave my sister and I is grossing us out with their affection. All right? There are times when we grab a pillow and stuff our pillow in the face and just be like, "Mom, I can't believe you're doing that. Ah, that's just gross," okay? And wanted them to leave. But what that did was it showed us how much they loved each other. It showed us what a good marriage really looked like. So if your marriage is consistently cold, there's some problems and you need to address those things. If there is a consistent boiling point, okay, if there's regular fighting or stress, if everyone has to walk on eggshells because they never know when dad or mom is going to explode at any moment, that's a problem. Okay? Everyone can have a moment sometimes where they explode, they've had a bad day or something, but if this is a characterization of your home, then we need to talk, we need to get you some help so that that goes away. Okay? Again, the best gift you can give your kids is a loving marriage where the kids can see that. And it goes back to that whole modeling thing we talked about last week. They will learn infinitely more from what you show them than from anything else. So we need to be modeling these things for the kids. The third enemy is non-present presence. Sadly, even adults today can be torn away from their families by things like cell phones. We hear that that special little sound, and we go, "I've got email, I've got a text, I've got this or that or whatever." And again, what we're doing is we are modeling behavior in front of the kids. Now, I'll be honest, and gratefully, in this congregation, I don't see that as being as big of a problem. I see most of us here, if not all of us, value our time with our families. And so we don't let things like electronics get in the way, and that is a good, good thing. However, this non-present presence, whether it's electronics, whether it's work, whatever the issue may be, it's only going to get worse unless we keep tabs on something like that and we make sure we're modeling that we are present with our family. The last big enemy of all of this actually taking place, of family discipleship happening, the greatest thing you can do, is a lack of intentionality. Okay, that's the enemy, is being a lack of intentionality. The greatest thing that you can do, dads, husbands, if you really want to score some points, here you go, okay? When you get home, grab the calendar and tell your wife that you want to look for a time in the upcoming week where you can spend a little time talking together as a family about the things of God, going over a family devotional. Find that 10 or 15 minute window, little bit of time that you can take and say, "This is our time for this week. We're going to do this," okay? Be intentional about some discipleship time. If you have time for a week to meet as a family, then during the rest of that week, be intentional as you go from school to practice to this or that, whatever you're running to, be intentional while you're talking about with your kids, okay? Last thing about this for today is really for those who may have grown children that are up and out of the house. Some of you may think, "Well, you know what, it's too late for us because I've got kids who are 40 some odd years old, this is, you know, beyond me," so on and so forth. But here's the thing, you can still disciple those kids. It's just going to look differently. Instead of family night, maybe you call them up on the phone and you tell them how much you love them. And you tell them how proud you are of them. And then tell them what we've been going over in church. Talk to them about the things of God. That's one way of doing it. But as you talk about those things, we're talking about this stuff, maybe you're sitting there and you're feeling, "You know what? Man, I so wish I would have known God better when my kids were younger." Maybe you became a Christian later in life and your kids were already partly grown or out of the house, and you're going, "I so wish I would have known Christ before they left the house. That would have been so wonderful so I could help them see the love and the beauty that there is in Christ." You know what? Tell them that. So tell them, "I wish I would have known God better when you were younger so I could have helped you to see these things." let them know that you are excited by your faith and you want them to be excited in their faith as well. What you are doing at that moment is you are living out the gospel. You're owning your own failures and saying, you know what? I wish this would have been different. I wish this would have been another way. And then you are also pointing your child to Christ in those moments. This whole family discipleship thing is something that you really can do. With a little bit of intentionality, with a focus on your own heart, you can see incredible things happen in your children's hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray for these opportunities that you will give us to be intentional, to be discipling our own children. Lord, we want to see this extend to the next generation and the next generation. We want to see our kids fall in love with you. We want to see our grandkids fall in love with you. Lord, we pray that you are going to give us wisdom in how to enact some of these ideas, some of these thoughts as to how to be intentional with our kids, with our grandkids, so that they can be growing in you. God, build that up in us. Build our love for you so that they can see our love for you. Lord, that should be the very first thing that we start seeking after. And then start seeking after, how can I be passing this on to my kids? How can I be helping them to see these things? God, build these things in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.